Hello everyone, it's Stuart and Jodie here at Carey Baptist Church in Moulton. Thank you for joining with us. Let's commit this time of worship into God's care. Let us pray. Lord, as we gather together from our different places and homes to engage with you in worship, we pray that your Holy Spirit would connect us and join us together, and that we would hear from you. That we would hear your whisper in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture reading this week is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Isaiah 6, 1 to 13. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him was seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe is me," I cried. "I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, and make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and the oak leaves stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." Amen. And let us pray. Lord, as we reflect on your whisper to us and how you speak to us today, we pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us and whisper into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After a break in our series for Pentecost last week, we return to our series on hearing God's voice, based on Pete Gregg's book, How to Hear God. This week we are looking at hearing God's whisper, God's internal voice, how he speaks quietly to us, silently through a still small voice within us. On the road to Emmaus, the disciples were kept from seeing Jesus at first, and he only revealed himself later. And we see in Isaiah that the people were deaf to God's messenger. In chapter 6, verses 9 to 10, it says, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." We need to be people who desire God and to spend time with him, not to have deaf ears, but to spend time to hear his whisper and his call to us. St. John of the Cross, the 16th century Spanish Carmelite mystic, talked about silence as God's first language. But how can silence be a language? There are many types of silence, some positive, some negative. There is the silence in a cinema after a great film when no one wants to move, but all stay seated all the way through the credits, and you see some people still weeping, deeply moved by what they have seen. Or there is the silence of being in a huff with someone, not speaking, intentionally not speaking to them, blanking them, even if those people live in the same house. Or there is a silence between lovers who don't need to say anything, or the companionable silence of an elderly couple who know each other well and don't need to say much to each other. I could go on, but you get the idea. Some silences are pregnant and some silences are empty. In relation to God, some silences are pregnant with his presence. Others seem empty and barren. But we need both, and most persevere through the barren times, which teach us our dependency and our need of God. As we grow in our relationship with God over the years, we often grow in silence. Spending time with God without saying too much, just being with God, communing with God. Not everyone finds silent prayer to be their path, and there are many different ways of praying and many different personalities, some suited to more extrovert types, some to more introvert types. But I know for me, it has helped me to grow in my relationship with God. Starting from when I was studying theology at university, I came across a contemplative prayer group that met in the chapel at the New College in Edinburgh. And I went along, and it was just a couple of older women and myself. And it was very hard to begin with. And 20 or 30 minutes of silence seemed like an eternity. But with practice, it got easier. And there's all sorts of approaches or aids that we can use to help still our mind. Some people use the Jesus Prayer, which comes from the Orthodox tradition, and repeat rhythmically, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner," and repeat that prayer. Or a prayer that I often use is the Maranatha Prayer, which is an early Christian prayer, and that was taken up by John Mayne, a Benedictine monk, and to say the word in four syllables, Maranatha, which means "come, Lord, come," and to use that as a prayer to still your mind. Or to use different form of breathing techniques that help you to still and slow down. Or just to repeat Jesus' name. All these are means to an end, which is communion with God in silent prayer. And it's the Spirit that leads us and draws us into silence. We can't achieve silence. It is given to us as a gift. We just have to make space for it. I'm going to look at the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 19, verses 9 to 13, where it says, "Then he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too.' The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. and after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" This shows how God doesn't come to Elijah in the big, powerful ways of an earthquake or wind or a fire, which you would often associate with a theophany or a revelation of God in his power, but comes in a gentle whisper or a still small voice or the sound of sheer silence. God whispers to us in silence. God whispers rather than overpowering us. And if we want to hear God, we need to make space in our lives to listen to him. For me, that means spending time in silent prayer each morning and late afternoon before tea, if I can manage to fit that in also. And also, I spend time journaling at the end of the day and reflecting upon the day, doing an exam and looking back on the day. And I like it late at night, round about midnight-ish, when the house is quiet and calm. I often sense God in the wee small hours. But that depends on your body clock. Jody is a lark who gets up early and goes to bed earlier, whereas I get up a bit later and stay up later. Find times when you're awake to pray, otherwise you'll doze off. Although it's no great sin if you fall asleep while you're praying. I often fall asleep when I'm meditating. It probably means that I didn't get enough sleep and need the sleep anyway. I also like to try and program in prayer days every 3 months or so. I go to a prayer house and spend time in prayer. And I value longer retreats when I can fit them in for a week. Or I remember on my sabbatical in 2005, I went and did a 30-day prayer retreat. And I remember on the first night, I had a strong desire to sneak out and go to the pub. But I didn't. I managed to stick with it. Now, a weekly or a 30-day retreat may not be doable for you, but we're all called to practice a weekly Sabbath when we set aside time to rest, to pray, and to worship. Now, for the Jews, that was on the Saturday, starting on the Friday evening through to the Saturday evening. For Christians, their Sabbath can be a Sunday. My Sunday is a work day, so mine is a Monday. And we all need days off when we can switch off from our phones, emails, and screens, give ourselves a digital detox. Otherwise, we become overwhelmed. I'm now going to hand over to Jodie, who's going to give her perspective.
Okay, so having heard Stuart talk about his silent prayer regime, I want to say to people, don't be intimidated. He's already mentioned that he and I have very opposite body clocks. He's still awake at midnight while I'm up at 5:30 in the morning. But we also have very different experiences and approaches to quiet, hearing the quiet whisper of God. For him, it's about the time spent in stillness and silent prayer, whereas for me, that approach is problematic. Something that I rarely mention is that I have very bad and constant tinnitus. I've had it for years. At the least, there is a fire alarm going off in my head all the time. At the worst, it's a host of screaming banshees. And there is no treatment for this, just advice to do things which distract your attention and to not focus on the noise in your head. But that makes sitting to do quiet things like reading and silent prayer very difficult. If I sit quietly to pray or read, the internal noise becomes far too noticeable, and my body's natural response to that alarm in my head is one of panic and stress. And that's not conducive to meaningful prayer or even to good mental health. So I try to not do that if possible. But I don't accept that that means that I can never hear God's quiet whisper. Just as Stuart has been on a journey over many years learning to pray silently, I too am on a journey learning to hear God's quiet whisper. It's just a very different journey. I'm continually learning how to work with the tinnitus. For me, stillness and silence are about being still and silent internally, not necessarily externally. Often I use activity, something like walking or cycling, doing crafts, washing up, ironing, just to keep my tinnitus distracted, but to allow me to be free internally and to open up to God's kind of bubbling up inside of me. For example, yesterday I was able to sit still in the garden, but because the breeze was blowing in the big tree that we have and there was a sufficient rustling noise of the leaves to distract me and help me to get into some kind of, well, I want to call it silent prayer. It's still prayer, but it's not silent, sat out there with the tree rustling. You may have heard of the phrase, seeing with the eyes of your heart. Well, with my tinnitus, I like to think of trying to hear with the ears of my heart. Now, in the story of the Emmaus Road, the travellers were kept from recognising Jesus, and he seemed quite happy to continue on his way without revealing himself. It says in Luke 24, as they came near to the village which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going farther, but they held him back, saying, stay with us, the day is almost over and it's getting dark. But what if they hadn't invited him in? They would have missed out. I don't want to be someone who misses out on hearing God's whisper because I've let him pass by or because my tinnitus has stopped me. It would be so easy to be like the people that Isaiah was called to prophesy to in today's reading. Those people ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never perceiving. So I persevere with quiet prayer in any way that I can. And I find comfort in the way that once they had invited Jesus in after their walk on the Emmaus Road, they didn't all sit in quiet contemplation. They got on with the meal. And it was in the activity of breaking bread that Jesus revealed himself. I keep trying, and in the quiet and mundane activities of the day, just to not let Jesus pass by, I try to distract my tinnitus. I try to listen with the ears of my heart. This is my battle, my struggle with tinnitus. You will have your own struggles and battles with trying to hear God's quiet whisper. You will need to go on your own journey. But I want to encourage you to keep trying to hear God's whisper, working out maybe what is stopping you and finding ways to work around the obstacles, because I can promise it is worth it.
I will close with the lyrics of a song that I woke up in my head with this week. I hadn't heard this song for a long time, but it came to me this week. And it's called, "Oh, the love of my Lord is the essence," or "gentle as silence." And these are the words. "Oh, the love of my Lord is the essence of all that I love here on earth. All the beauty I see he has given to me, and his giving is gentle as silence. Every day, every hour, every moment have been blessed by the strength of his love. At the turn of each tide, he is there at my side, and his touch is as gentle as silence. There have been times when I've wandered from his presence, and I've walked other paths, other ways, but I've called on his name in the dark of my shame, and his mercy was gentle as silence." Let's just spend a moment in the gentle silence of God. Loving God, help us to hear your gentle whisper in our lives, and help us to be obedient to your nudges and your call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's move into a time of prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, our parent, our saviour, Prince of Peace. We thank you for the gift of peace, that through our Lord Jesus Christ we can be at peace with you, with one another, and with ourselves. We pray for those who are not at peace, for those who live in a turmoil of guilt towards and anger with you, for those who live in conflict with family, friends, or neighbours, for those racked by anxiety, ill at ease with themselves. Loving God, our parent, our saviour, Spirit of Peace, give them that peace which passes understanding. Through the Holy Spirit he has given us, God's love has flooded our hearts. Loving God, our parent, our saviour, Spirit of Love, we thank you for the gift of love, with which through the Holy Spirit you have renewed and transformed our lives. We pray for those who long for love, for those who seek you and your paternal, saving and empowering love, for those who are lonely, neglected or abused, for those with little self-respect, hesitant in embracing the challenge of loving. Loving God, our parent, our saviour, Spirit of Love, give them the knowledge of your love that never dies. And in a moment's silence, we bring our own needs and concerns to the Lord. Lord, we offer you all these prayers and we join them with the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you for joining with us. I'll just close with a blessing. God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and hope and love. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Thank you for joining with us. Go well and God bless.